Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdal.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue on our study of United We Fall. Today we'll begin to look seriously at this Veritas Forum, the Truth Forum, as we are going to be listening to Pastor Kevin Singer and Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Suleiman. First, let us listen to Pastor Kevin Singer, who is the moderator for this wonderful dialogue. That is when he said,
as a Christian who has the parable of the Good Samaritan in my Bible, I don't have the luxury to ignore or despise my Muslim neighbors. Christ gives me one option, and that is to love my Muslim neighbors as myself and to go above and beyond what my Muslim neighbors are even expecting of me.
I love it how many liberal Christian ministers use the scripture to fulfill their agenda of how they wanted us, the Christian, to treat Muslims. In many places, as I travel to speak, I see Christians who are obviously liberal, that is Christian by name only, who hold signs to protest my meeting. Some of these signs say, bigotry is not welcome here, or you are not welcome here, or racism is not welcome here, or love your neighbor. But do they really understand what we do in our ministry? Do they really understand if I truly love the Muslim people or not? And do we really read the words of God to understand how it was written and why it was written? Did the Bible said, love your neighbor and stop there? Or as Pastor Kevin here said, as yourself. And what does the scripture mean by the statement, love your neighbor as yourself? Now let us look at the great parable which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ taught his disciples and the people of his days. It's about the Good Samaritan. We're talking about a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the thieves did what they did to him. They stripped him of his clothes, and they wounded him, and they left him between life and death. So that is the parable which Pastor Kevin would like to use to talk about the Muslims who are living among us. That's wonderful. Let's continue with the story. A priest went by, and he saw him. He looked at him, and he passed him by. A Levite, also after the priest, came by the same place. And he saw him, and he looked at him, and he went on by. Then we're talking about the Good Samaritan, who was also traveling. And when he saw him, he was filled with compassion towards him. So what did he do? Did he say, you're doing good. You're doing great. I understand, and I believe that you're hurting, but I love you, and God bless you, and goodbye. No. That's not what the Good Samaritan did. He actually bound up his wounds. And I guarantee you, maybe that hurt. And I believe, as the scripture said, he poured an oil and wine on the wounds. And I guarantee you, the wine will burn the wound and it will hurt. He did not stop there, but he also put him on his donkey. And he took him to a hotel. And he asked the people of the hotel to take care of him. And before he left in the following morning, he actually gave 2 denaries, which is lots of money, to the owner of the hotel. And he said, take care of him. And whatever you spend, no matter how much you spend, when I come back, I will repay you. Now, is this what Pastor Kevin is doing? Is this what Pastor J.D. Greer is doing to the Muslims? Of course not. You see, this will never take place unless Pastor Kevin and Pastor Greer get serious about loving the Muslim people and get serious about take care of the Muslim people. This interfaith meeting or this truth forum they are leading in this meeting will never heal the lost Muslims, will never bring the Muslim people who are wounded by Islam to Christ. And this will never lead any Muslims to Christ. You may talk about the Good Samaritan, but if you don't know the true account of the parable, the true meaning of the parable of the Good Samaritan, then he cannot use it. Because as we will see in the entire night, in all the talk between these three gentlemen has nothing to do with the Good Samaritan, has nothing to do with what the Good Samaritan did for the wounded man. As for loving Muslim people as ourselves, I wonder if Pastor Kevin understands what the words "as myself" actually means. It means you want to make them Christian as you are a Christian. You want to lead them to Christ. You want them to get them saved. And that is the only way you can truly tell me that you love the Muslim people. Not to sit and have dinner with them, not have a dialogue with them, and in the end of the dialogue, they still left as good Muslims, and they believe deep in their heart that you are a lost infidel, and you will burn in hell for being a believer in this false Christianity, which Kevin and Pastor Greer believe in. Now let's continue with what else Pastor Kevin will share with us.
So tonight, I hope that this conversation models what could be an exciting future for evangelicals and Muslims in America. A future where we can have open, honest, real, authentic, deep faith dialogue. A future where we aren't strangers or enemies, but neighbors. It is only when I understand my neighbor that I can speak to their deepest needs, their struggles, their fears, and their hopes. It is only when I know my neighbor that I can actually love my neighbor.
Well, let us analyze these words. Pastor Kevin is talking about using the Good Samaritan parable to accomplish what he is hoping for in that truth forum. And he's telling us that tonight he is hoping that this conversation will model what could be an exciting future for the evangelical and the Muslims in America. What kind of future do Christians have with Muslims in America? The future of the gentleman who was wounded and he was left on the road between life and death was that he received healing as the Good Samaritan took care of all his needs. Now, are these two pastors willing to do what the Good Samaritan did? Are they willing to bandage the wound of the Muslims, which were caused by the teaching of Islam, as we know that they are the number one victim of Islam? Are they willing to put the oil and the wine on it? Are they willing to really help them, to lead them to Christ? Or do they just want to have a conversation? Because talk is cheap. And once again, this is a dangerous dialogue. Let me remind you of what we said earlier, like the conversation between the serpent and Mother Eve. Is that what these two pastors wanted to accomplish on that night? Just to have a talk? What is the relationship between the Muslims and the Christian? There is no relationship whatsoever, as we're going to see in the end of that meeting. He wanted to be open and honest. He wanted to be real. And he wanted to be authentic. He wanted to have a deep faith dialogue. Is this really what happened on that night? The answer is no. These words became so cheap because they never put them into action. How open were they with Imam Omar and the audience? And how honest were they with all the Muslims that night? Were they real? Were they authentic? Did they have a deep faith dialogue? Or were they just singing Kumbaya? That song of Kumbaya will never lead a Muslim to Christ. And the Christian left that meeting with good, positive feelings about Muslims and Islam, because neither Kevin nor Pastor Greer said anything truthful about Islam, about Muhammad, about the Quran. And the Muslim deceiver, the serpent of the night, Imam Omar Suleiman, did everything he could, and he did a great job, to deceive not only the audience, Muslims and Christians alike, but even Pastor Kevin and Pastor Greer by making up a brand new Islam, not only for the people of North Carolina, but for the people of the world, as this video is still available on YouTube for the years and years to come, as it will be translated to many languages to learn about the loving, peaceful Islam. I'm sorry, this cannot be a fulfillment of the Good Samaritan parable. The wounded man did not tell the Good Samaritan, "I'm doing fine, I'm doing great, I have no pain, I have no sorrow, I'm not hurting, I'm doing great. Thank you for stopping by. Let's have a song together. Let's have a nice talk. No, there was no such thing there. So if there was no conversation between the Good Samaritan and the wounded man, why would Pastor Greer and Pastor Kevin want to have a conversation with Imam Omar Suleiman? And if the Good Samaritan did what is right to help the man who is between life and death, why can't Pastor Greer and Pastor Kevin do the same with the lost Muslims who are not only dying spiritually, but someday they will die physically and then they will spend eternity in hell?
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true? To answer this important challenge, Usama Dakdok has just released the first of a special two-book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran. Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. From the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
Pastor Kevin continued by saying that he's looking for a future where we are not strangers or enemies, but neighbors. Well, nice talk. What a wonderful essay. But what is this neighbor relationship he's looking for? Because if my neighbor is an antichrist, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And if my neighbor is coming to me to lead me and my family to a savage cult, which is Islam, and that's exactly what Imam Omar is doing in that dialogue, then I will not even wish him peace, as we just have read many times in 2 John verses 7 to 11. Pastor Kevin continued to say, it is only when I understand my neighbor, I can speak to their deepest need. Well, what is the deepest need of the Muslim of America except to know Jesus Christ? What struggle are the Muslims having in America? I love it how liberal Christians in America always try to make the Muslims victims. Oh, they're struggling. Oh, they're having a hard time. Oh, this, oh, that, especially after September 11, where so many Christians literally did not do what is right to their Muslim neighbor by letting them know that they are following a savage cult and they needed Christ as Lord and Savior. No, we gave them food, we sent them flowers, we hugged them, we kissed them, but we never shared the truth of the gospel with them. Is this really the true love of the Good Samaritan? Of course, the answer is no. Then Pastor Kevin said, it is only when I know my neighbor that I can actually love my neighbor. I'm sorry, the Good Samaritan did not know that man who was wounded, who was between life and death. He didn't even know his name. He did not know him from Adam, but he loved him. And trust me, the more you know some of our Muslim neighbors, the more in the flesh you will not love them, especially if you know why they're here. If you understand Imam Omar's agenda of why he exists in America and what his organization, the MSA, is here for and what they are hoping to accomplish, trust me, you will never love them. If you love your children, if you love your country, if you love the church, you will get rid of them. They are not here because they want to be our neighbors. They're here to kill us, to take over our homes, and we will be out of the neighborhood. I can use another parable in the Bible to expose the falsehood of what Pastor Kevin and Pastor Greer are doing. If you know what time the thief is going to come to your house, Jesus said, you will be awake all night. so you will protect your house from the thief. That is exactly the perfect parable we can use talking about the relationship between Pastor Kevin and Pastor Gurrier and Imam Omar Suleiman. He's a thief, and he's here to knock a hole in the back of our home, to steal our home. We should not have a conversation with him, but we should be awake all night that if he comes, we will stop him from stealing or robbing our homes. So in simple words, I'm sorry, picking up stories from the Bible and apply it to this dialogue with the Muslims, loving them with false information is not love. The only way we can love the Muslim people, as any good doctor who loves his patient, is to tell them the truth. You're sick and you have a bad disease. And the bad disease of Islam started by the false claimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad. That bad disease is called Islam. And as long as you are sick with this Islam, you will never have eternal life. You will die and you spend eternity in hell with your false prophet, Muhammad. And if Muslims are willing to talk after this opening statement, then we can continue to talk to lead them to Christ. But to say, I love you, you love me, and we are a happy family, the Barney song, this will not help neither the Muslims nor the Christians. Then Pastor Kevin Singer said,
and to hope is where we now turn.
What a philosophical way to end his introduction to move to the topic of the dialogue. We understand that the name of the topic for this meeting was Hope in the Current Age, as we have heard from the young Christian lady, Hunter Lee. So Pastor Kevin gives us a philosophical talk mixing Love Your Neighbor by the Good Samaritan, and we must know our Muslim neighbors, and we must not neglect them, and we must love them as ourselves, and that's what we are going to talk about tonight to get to the hope for a better future between the evangelicals and the Muslims. As we will get to know each other on the basis of openness, honesty, real, authentic, deep faith dialogue. And now we're going to get to hear Pastor DJ Gurrier. That is, obviously, when Pastor Kevin said...
But before we get to that, I think we need to start by defining the marks of the current age. But before we even do that, as we discussed over dinner, I thought I might start by asking each of you, what compelled you to want to do this in the first place? Like, why did you decide to take the last few hours out of your lives to be part of this conversation?
Wow, it's about time to get to the real seriousness of this dialogue. What compelled you, Pastor J.D. Gurrier and Imam Omar Suleiman, to do this dialogue? First, we're going to listen to the answer of Pastor J.D. Gurrier, who said...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I have a couple of reasons. One, actually three. One is that, you know, civically, we understand that, and we live in a country that we're grateful that we believe in the, you know, freedom of religion, and that means that we need to be able to not only get along with, but to cherish and to stand alongside of and even fight for people who believe different things than we do. And we're grateful for the Muslim neighbors that God has given us, and we want to advocate for their protection, their rights, their interests as much as we would as if they were our own. And, you know, I just feel like too often, and I'm sure we'll get into this tonight, there's a polarization as if it's other. You know, it's like we got one community and another community, but really, civically, we are citizens of a place, and we want to serve and love each other. That's one.
So the question once again, what compelled you to come here tonight to have this dialogue? Pastor J.D. Gurrier gave three reasons. The first reason, he said, civically, we understand. We live in a country that we are grateful that we believe in the freedom of religion. That's wonderful. Christians in America believe in freedom of religion. Jews in America believe in freedom of religion. Atheists and agnostics in America believe in freedom of religion. Now, the gentleman who are you talking to right now, Imam Omar Suleiman, does he believe in freedom of religion? It's a very important question. Because if he does believe in freedom of religion, then go ahead, have the dialogue. Enjoy it. But that Imam Omar Suleiman and his organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, His Quran, the holy word of his God, Allah, his prophet, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad, do not believe in freedom of religion. You see, this dialogue would be awesome if it is honest, if it is open, if it is authentic, if it is deep, if it is truthful. Let's ask Imam Omar, sir, do you believe in freedom of religion? You know what his answer would be? No, we don't believe in freedom of religion. And then you ask him, what would happen if a Muslim member of your mosque chose to leave Islam, say become a Christian, become a Jew, become an atheist? What would you do to him or her? The answer is very simple. We would kill them. Why? Because Allah said so and Muhammad said so. And that is the rules which we believe in. That's how we Muslims live our Islam in the last 1400 years. And without that rule, Islam will never exist. If the Muslims will have freedom once in their life, if they leave Islam, they will not be killed. There will not be hardly any Muslims stay in Islam. They will all leave Islam. So you see, this dialogue is an empty because there's no honesty in it. There's no truth in it. It is hogwash dialogue. And this is just the beginning of this Veritas Forum, Truth Forum. And I do not know what is truth. If this dialogue started with flattery of the Muslim Brotherhood Jihadi, Imam Omar Suleiman, and Islam, and Allah, and Muhammad, and the Quran, what else could Pastor J.D. Greer do to make us believe that what they're doing in this dialogue has anything to do with the truth? When we will meet in our next broadcast, we will look at the rest of reason number one of why Pastor J.D. Greer was compelled to have this wonderful dialogue with Imam Omar Suleiman. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.